The Global Gaming League is presented by Atlas Earth, the fun cashback app.
Hey, it's Howie Mandel, and I am inviting you to witness history as me and my Howie Do It gaming team take on Gilly the King and Wallo 267's Million Dollars Gaming in an epic Global Gaming League video game showdown, plus a halftime performance by multi-platinum artist Travi McCoy. Watch all the action and see who wins and advances to the championship match right now at GlobalGamingLeague.com. That's GlobalGamingLeague.com.
In partnership with Level Up Expo.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if you're expecting Todd Starnes, are you in for a surprise today? I'm not Todd, I'm Mary Walter, in for Todd here in the Liberty University studios. Yeah, I get to be with you for the whole show. I have no idea where Todd is. Hopefully, he is taking a day to just relax. That man works so hard. It's insane. I mean, he's writing books, he's doing the show, he's got his Newsmax show. He's everywhere. I don't know how he does it. I don't know where he finds the time or the energy, but somehow he does. So I hope Todd is just somewhere incognito, you know, just walking around maybe and just enjoying, taking some time off to just relax. So we have a lot planned for the show today, right? So we have Luke Symbol coming on at the bottom of the next hour. And he's a Republican strategist. You know him, friend of the show. We are going to talk about, of course, the SAVE Act. Letitia James is back in the news. Yeah, I love it. She's back in the news. Unfortunately, she's going to keep escaping because she's got a D after her name, and so a jury won't indict her. Also, California, the Democrat, gubernatorial debates were canceled. I'll tell you why about that. Medicare for All is back. Yeah, we may not get to all of this stuff, obviously. Let's see. Mike Rowe has something very interesting that I want to talk about, and also going to have some fun with young Dylan is going to be joining me to talk about a video that I found on Facebook. And the title of it is Gen Z is Cooked. And it's a bunch of guys analyzing why they didn't get a second date or what happened with the girl, and the guy's telling them, no, you did it wrong. So we're going to talk about that and what exactly happened. And honestly, I blame the generation that raised them because we didn't teach them a darn thing. Things that they need to know. So, especially our young men, our poor, poor young men. So anyway, so let's start out talking about Iran. We're going to get that out of the way. There's not a ton of new stuff with Iran, but there are some things. So there's a little confusion. And I'm a little confused about it. And in the interest of full disclosure, I am admitting that I'm a little confused. So maybe you can set me straight on that. So if you want to join in, 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926, or you can just tag me in a post on X at Mary Walter Radio. My podcast, it's a live cast on Tuesday nights, 7:15 p.m. Eastern time. And familiar faces, remember Grace Baker, she's been on, Ben Dieter's been on, Todd Starnes has been on, maybe we should get Dylan on, and all sorts of political and non-political guests. And if you watch live, you can ask questions, leave comments. The audio is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Spreaker. And you can always go to Rumble, YouTube, or Getter and watch any of the videos. So the first thing regarding the war in Iran, Israel just killed the Iranian Navy commander who was blocking the Strait of Hormuz. So he's gone. You got to look at it. And I realized, like, we cannot put ourselves in the shoes of the Iranians. We can't do it. Because for them, this is a religious thing. This is a religious war for them. And when it's a religious-based issue, you can't reason with people. You can't discuss and try to reason out religion, right? Like, I'm Catholic, and so people say to me, well, why do you do this? And I'm like, no, I don't know. We just do. And that's that. But the things that I say, I don't know, we just do, really don't affect anybody else. Like when Islamists, not Muslims, Islamists say, you know, some of their things like, well, why do you feel a need to kill everybody? Everybody, why is everybody who doesn't agree with you an infidel and you feel a need to kill them? That's a little bit different than, gee, why do you bless yourself before each meal? Big difference, right? So I got in a conversation with a friend of mine who's Jewish. I'm like, oh, wait, so wait a minute. You can't be buried in a Jewish cemetery. You won't go to heaven if you have a tattoo or you alter your body. But yet, all majority of my Jewish female classmates at 16, the summer when they turn 16 years old, get a nose job. So do the nose jobs not count, but the tattoos do? And they're like, yeah, good point. I don't know. So we often have these conversations, right? And it's no big deal. It doesn't result in a war. But we can't put ourselves in their shoes because we don't understand that for them, this is a religious jihad. This is a righteous battle. And they feel that they are fighting the devil. They're fighting the infidels, right? So this is, and they're trying to preserve the caliphate, the Islamic caliphate. And so, even though Israel just keeps picking one off after the next, after the next, after the next, after the next, they will continue to fight. And this is why I think this is going to take longer than anyone thought. Now, maybe Israel and the United States knew this was going to happen. They very well may have, and they probably did. But remember, we're only going into our fourth week of this conflict. It seems like it's been going on a lot longer, but it's only been 4 weeks. So there's that. You know, we have had far longer conflicts than this. And so I think it's going to go longer. However, here's my thing, and you can weigh in on this. I think that if President Trump doesn't wrap this up with a bow, by like summer, it affects the midterms bigly, right? Like it's got to, because Americans have the attention span of golden retriever puppies. So if it's over by like June, come November, it's going to be a distant memory and nobody's going to be thinking about it when they go to cast a ballot, right? Like when they go to vote, no one's going to be thinking about it because it was months ago and we don't have that attention span. So I really think that Trump and Netanyahu have to wrap this up by like June. I'm curious what you think. If you want to jump in, 901-260-5926, 901-260-KWAM, KWAM. So that's the first thing. So these men just keep stepping up and they keep getting put in these positions and they just keep getting picked off and they're just going to keep doing it. Nowhere, I don't think that anywhere along the line, they're going to go, well, this probably isn't working for us. They might need to capitulate here. We may be in over our heads. And just remember, the further down the line they get, the less organized they become. Now that is a good thing, but it can also be a bad thing. Nature abhors a vacuum. So if we're creating a vacuum, we got to be careful because I truly believe that the president is not interested in regime change, picking a leader for them, picking a regime for them and saying, here you go. This is what you're going to live under. He wants the Iranian people to do that. And he said that over and over again, like they did in Venezuela. Now, the woman who's in charge, we all think she's the one who dimed out Bolsonaro, right? Like we pretty much, she's the one who dimed out where he was. And so she's in charge now. So she's from his party, but she's being much more cooperative with the United States and much less authoritarian and dictatorship because she does not want to be the next one woken up in the middle of the night and put on a helicopter. All right. So I think, and I would love to see President Trump and Netanyahu do the same thing in Iran, because we don't have a really good history of doing regime change. We just don't. We're not super good at it. We're the ones who got rid of the Shah. That was Jimmy Carter. Thank you very much. Jimmy Carter got rid of the Shah and put the Ayatollah in because he seemed nice. You know, he's a religious man. He seems nice. And, you know, then all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. So we're not good at it. So we should let the people decide who runs their country. And that's going to be up to the Iranian people to get it together. Is there going to be a faction that wants the return of the Shah, like in his son, you know, put his son in? Of course. Are there going to be people who want something different? Yeah. But they got to figure it out. Not us. Not us. Not our job. So I think it's got to be over by June. Feel free to disagree with me. All right. So here's what happened. This has been going back and forth. The Trump administration offered a 15-point ceasefire plan to Iran. We do not know, from what I could tell, and I did some research for you so you don't have to, we do not know exactly what was in that 15-point plan. We don't know what the 15 points are. We got some, but we don't know it all. All right. It was submitted to Iran by intermediaries from Pakistan. And in this, Trump apparently would take control over the Strait of Hormuz in return for yielding to U.S. and Israeli demands. Then the regime would be allowed to remain in power and continue its crackdown on dissent with minimal interference. So you can keep the same regime. All right. You can continue to crack down on your people. But we're controlling the Strait of Hormuz, and it's got to be, your crackdown can't be as tough as it was before. That doesn't sound really great to me, right? Like, if you're going to get rid of them, keep going. Keep going. Get rid of them. Why do you want to have to squash this bug again? I don't like that. I don't think the Iranian people are going to be happy with that. According to Israeli Channel 12, the 15-point plan begins with the removal of all nuclear-related sanctions on Iran alongside U.S. assistance in advancing and developing a civilian nuclear project for electricity generation. That would be such an improvement in their lives with the rolling blackouts that they have now. Kind of like California. So that would be a great thing. The plan also includes for the removal of the threat of sanctions being reimposed while placing Iran's nuclear program under a defined framework in which it would be frozen. Enriched uranium is to remain, but under supervision and agreed limits. And the missile program is going to be addressed at a later stage with limits on quantity and range. And I would assume it's not going to be the IAEA, because they've done a horrendous job at monitoring anything going on in Iran. They had to give them 20. They agreed to give them 24-hour notice. It was the dumbest thing ever. Like, if you tell your kids, okay, I want to make sure that you are not smoking or doing any kind of illicit drugs or drinking, but so in 24 hours, I'm going to come and inspect your room. There's going to be bottles flying out the window. Of course, they're going to clean it up. So it was the dumbest arrangement ever. The use of nuclear programs would be restricted to civilian or defensive purposes only, with the development of existing nuclear capabilities halted and no further expansion of enrichment capabilities permitted. It also specifies that there would be no production of weapons-grade nuclear material on Iranian soil, and that all enriched material is to be handed over to the IAEA within an agreed timeline. The proposal outlines that Natanz, Isfahan, and Fordow are to be taken out of use, destroyed, alongside the enforcement of international monitoring and verification mechanisms. Now, I remember in the summer, last summer, when they were doing this, they were hitting Fordow, Isfahan, and Natanz. We know that those where their nuclear reactors are, and that's where the programs are. But like, some of them are so far underground, they're impossible to get to. The plan emphasizes gradual implementation tied to compliance, along with additional regional and security understandings between the parties. Now, it's not clear who in Iran's government has the authority to negotiate or would even be willing to, as Israel has reportedly vowed to continue killing the country's leaders. So I don't know who they're talking to. This is the other thing I thought, and I brought it up on my live cast on Tuesday. So if you watch the live cast, if you're part of it, if you join in, you heard this. But would it not be so Trumpian to put out there that, yeah, I gave him this, you know, 15 point thing. And I've been talking, they've been making me promises. They made it, you know, offered me a nice gift. And he's saying all this stuff. And he's really not talking to anyone, because then everyone in Iran who's left of the Revolutionary Guard, because that's pretty much who is in charge, like all of those leaders in the Revolutionary Guard as they get lower and lower in the ranks, are sitting there looking at each other going, well, he's not talking to me. Maybe he's talking to him. Is he selling us all out? So it creates that distrust, and it's a total mind game, which would be so Trump to just have a total and complete mind game with them, which would be brilliant. And I would love, love, love to see. So just put that in the back of your brain. I thought that, it's a brilliant thought, and I have to give my husband credit for that as much as it pains me. Yeah, he's a smart guy. All right. So where are we? Okay. Iran has downplayed Trump's claims that the United States is in negotiations and the war to end the war. We don't know who said that. We don't know what authority they have. For all we know, we're down to like the cook, right? The cook and the janitor are the two people who are now in charge of negotiating, because that's how far down the line we are. The top spokesperson for Iran's Joint Military Command said on Iranian state TV, "People like us can never get along with people like you." Sounds like a Democrat. "And as we have always said, no one like us will make a deal with you. Not now, not ever." It was like the Iranian counterpart to Chuck Schumer, Hakeem Jeffries. The Office of Iranian Foreign Minister said that he has been discussing the war with this week with several counterparts, but the Speaker of the Parliament, Iranian's Parliament, denied Trump's claim of direct talks, and an Iranian military spokesperson declared that the fighting will go on. Alluding to progress in talks with Iran, President Trump claimed Iran shared an oil and gas-related present. This is what I was talking about. A day after telling reporters the Middle Eastern nation is eager for a deal to end the war. So, I don't know. I think Trump could just be totally screwing with them, just to get them more crazed and off their game than they already are. Or he is talking to them, but the people, nobody knows what's going on. There's no chain of command anymore, right? There's no chain of command. Okay, so now Iran, all right, so coming up, I'll tell you what Iran has allegedly proposed instead of the U.S.'s 15-point plan. I'll tell you what they want. If you want to jump in, 901-260-5926. Do you think this has to be over? Do you agree? This has got to be over by like June, or else Republicans are going to get just handed their heads in the midterms. 901-260-5926. Mary Welter in for Todd Starnes here on The Todd Starnes Show.
It's midnight. Sirens blare. You only have seconds to grab your child and run. Now imagine you're elderly. Your legs don't work like they used to. Getting downstairs feels impossible. And after all of that, you end up in a bomb shelter for hours, even days, because you can't make that trek again. This is what's happening across Israel as Operation Epic Fury continues. Children being traumatized, families are exhausted, and homes have been destroyed. That's why the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews is there on the ground, bringing food, emergency equipment, care for children, and help for the elderly, supplying bomb shelters and medical centers with critically needed essentials. If you've ever wondered what it looks like to stand for Israel and stand for good against evil, this is it. Please act now. Give $45 right now to rush life-saving essentials to the vulnerable under fire. Call 888-488-IFCJ. That's 888-488-IFCJ, or go online, ifcj.org.
And welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Just talking about Iran and Trump and the plans and everything, I just want to quickly go to Cut 8 before I get into what Iran wants or does not want. So we're very going to quickly go to this. This is Anthony Blinken, the former Secretary of State, acknowledging that the Biden administration blew it, that they concentrated too much on the midterms. Here he is.
But you kept referring to an agreement that was longer and stronger.
That's right.
And you never got there.
Yep.
Given what's going on in the world, is that a regret today?
Yeah, it is. I wish we had gotten there. We worked very hard on getting that longer and stronger agreement. And I think at various points, we were really leaning into it. The Iranians were leaning back. At other points, they were leaning in. And we had our own constraints. You know, I'll acknowledge, too, that sometimes politics gets in the way. You have midterm elections. It shouldn't be, but it is too often a factor.
So they got in the way because President Biden didn't want to get into a...
I think we were looking at the right time to try to get this done. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, looking at the right thing, but the wrong time.
The Bleacher Report app is your destination for sports. Right now, the NBA is heating up, March Madness is here, and MLB is almost back. Every day there's a new headline, a new highlight, a new moment you've got to see for yourself. That's why I stay locked in with the Bleacher Report app. For me, it's about staying connected to my sports. I can follow the teams I care about, get real-time scores, breaking news, and highlights all in one place. Download the Bleacher Report app today so you never miss a moment.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Yeah, how you doing? I'm Mary Walter sitting in for Todd. Very quickly, I just want to wrap up this thing with Iran, and then we move on. All right, we run away from it. If you want to join me, though, 901-260-5926. I just wanted to get into the conditions that Iran wants for ending the war, which are, of course, it's not going to happen. They are asking for sovereignty over the Strait of Hormuz, a complete end to aggression from the U.S. and Israel. They want us to get to move, all abandon all of our bases in the Middle East, like all of them in the Middle East. Never going to happen. We're not going to abandon the Strait of Hormuz. Right. That's not going to happen. What the U.S. is proposing for the Strait of Hormuz, from what I understand, and people in the area, countries in the area, is that it would be taken over by a conglomerate of countries. And then you would pay to go through there like you do the Panama Canal. That's what it would be like. And so it would not, though, be run by Tehran. Iran will end the war at a time of its choosing, and only if the conditions it has set are fulfilled. It will not allow Trump to determine the timing of the war's end. They included five conditions for ending the war. The acts of aggression have to come to an end, ensuring the war will not recur. A payment of war damages and reparations. So they want us and Israel to pay them for damages and reparations, but I doubt that they're going to pay damages and reparations to Israel or any of the surrounding countries that they decided to just bomb. That's probably not going to happen. The ending of the war across all fronts involving all resistance groups and Iranian sovereignty over the Strait of Hormuz. And now they want J.D. Vance to conduct negotiations because they said that they feel stabbed in the back by Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner. Egypt, Pakistan, and Turkey are also expected to help mediate negotiations, which is good. Those countries should be involved in the mediation, right? They should be involved in this. So I'm glad, I'm super glad it's not just the U.S. and Israel. I'm really glad that other countries are coming to the table and being on this, on our side. They're not sitting back and just waiting to see what happens. So much so, I thought this, it's wonderful, but it is kind of funny. I don't mean to laugh at it, but you will snicker. The Ugandan Chief of Defense Forces, General Muhoozi Kainerugaba, posted on X yesterday that the world wants the Middle East war to end now, but any talk of destroying or defeating Israel will bring Uganda into the war on Israel's side. So I was like, okay, well, that's nice. It's more than France is doing. So I kind of look at it that way. You're doing far more than France. Okay, let's talk about the SAVE Act, shall we? So something like 90% of Americans want the dumb SAVE Act. We want the SAVE Act. Give us the SAVE Act. We want to have to show a ID when we go to vote. And the Democrats just like, they just want to, you know what it is? They're using this as a way to defund ICE and DHS. You defund ICE and the Department of Homeland Security, open borders come back. And we're not going to deport anybody. And that's what they want, because they want bodies for the census. That's what they want. They want bodies for the census. This is why when Trump 45 wanted to change the census to just count people legally in the United States. You're like, no, it says all persons in the Constitution. Blah, 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 blah. So that's why. And they, you know what? Here's the weird thing. Have you noticed that Democrats don't even try to hide any of this anymore? They don't care. They don't care. No. Because if they lose the bodies, the 20 million or so, 30 million or so illegals in this country that are living mostly in cities, mostly blue cities, mostly in blue states where they're sanctuaries. Come on into our state. Come to our state. We're sanctuaries because they want the representation in Congress. And they know if they lose that, Republicans gain power and they lose power. And especially with the migration, the out-migration from these red states, where people are going to, out of blue states, and they're going to red states, and the red states are gaining representation. So they're a little panicky about that. And so they want them. They want the bodies. And they've attached a lot of money to the bodies, too. You know, it's programs that they get, that they take part of, even though they tell us they're not in those states, they are. So there are a lot of shenanigans. I never thought that the word shenanigans would make a comeback, but it has made a comeback with gusto. Has it not? It really has. A lot of shenanigans going on around this whole thing. So I'm going to throw this question now to you, and then we shall discuss. All right. 901-260-5926. Is it time to get rid of John Thune as speaker? Is it time to dump him? Time for a new speaker. I think it takes something like 5 senators to propose get rid of him. Right? Let's get rid of him. And who would you propose to replace him? Who would you propose to replace him? I've seen a lot of people say Mike Lee, that he would be perfect. And the other question is, I mean, and maybe you don't think we need to get rid of them, but is it time to get rid of the filibuster? Listen, I'm a fan of tradition. I love tradition. I think tradition's important. But the filibuster is just that. It's just a tradition. It's not a law. It's not a rule. It's nothing official. It's just tradition. And the filibuster was always a standing filibuster. You had to stand there like Mr. Smith goes to Washington, and you had to yep on your feet as long as you could go. And then the next person would come in and they would have to get, blah, blah, blah. So we had like a handoff. So then we allowed a handoff. So it went from one person having to do it to you could like tag out like wrestling, and the next person could come in and they can yap for, you know, 3 hours or read Dr. Seuss or whatever it is they want to do. And then they could, you know, get tagged out, but you had to stand there and do it. And I believe everybody could do it once. I don't think one person could do it more than once. So when they get down there, like Bernie Sanders would be up there for a couple of hours standing, yapping. Then we got rid of that and we're like, well, it's a sitting filibuster. And then it went to, you don't even have to be here. We just declare this, you know, shut down, and you walk away and they go on vacation. So that's not a filibuster anymore. We've watered it down so much that it doesn't matter. So it's time to get rid of it. And the other reason I say to get rid of it is because Democrats have told us they're going to get rid of it. They've told us. When someone tells you what they're going to do, believe them. Believe them. Because I will tell you right now, if they don't get the SAVE Act passed, the midterms are done. They're done. And I'm beginning to think that John Thune wants that. I more than ever believe that they're all on the same page. The old school Republicans, not MAGA, but the Republicans and Democrats are all on the same page, and that page ain't ours. They are no interest in us. They want to keep the slot machine paying out. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Every time they pull that lever, boom. That's what they want to keep going. And so Thune doesn't want to get rid of the filibuster because he knows that Democrats are going to be mad and they're all on the same page and he can't anger his buddies. And then you have people like Mike Lee who's standing there going, we have to do this. I think he talked for like 2 hours last night, Mike Lee. This is what the American people want. And this is something that Americans of all stripes, independents, Democrats, and Republicans overwhelmingly want the SAVE Act passed. We don't feel that our elections are secure, and their job is to represent us. If you don't need a better illustration of how they don't care about us, I don't know what else there is. This they're shoving it in our faces. They're like, yeah, we know you really want this, but Senate, but John Thune is going to release everybody to go away for 2 weeks for Easter. I don't even get a day off. 2 weeks to go away for Easter, not doing the SAVE Act. So is it time? I feel I was very lukewarm on getting rid of the filibuster. And then when they started saying, yep, we're going to get rid of it, and they're proud and they tell you straight to your face. And if Republicans lose the midterms, I guarantee you by January, when everybody gets, all the new people get sworn in, the first thing they're going to do is get rid of the filibuster. They're going to expand the Supreme Court to 13 judges, and they're going to jam it with liberals. And then there you go. There goes that. There goes your Second Amendment rights, all that stuff. And then they're going to make Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. states in order to shore up their representation. And there you go. You will never have another Republican government in my, at least in my lifetime. And I ain't that close to death. I'm on my way, but we all are. But I ain't there yet. You will have a Democrat-run government for the rest of our lives. And you can look in the mirror and blame yourselves for not demanding that they get rid of the filibuster or not getting out and voting in the midterm. Because I think that Republicans, because they're very, in a way, Republicans, I got to tell you, you're a little like the squishy-feely Democrats. If you don't get what you want, you're not going to vote. There's a lot of people who will, they didn't get the SAVE Act. And I don't want to vote for the same people. But it's up to us to vote for different people in the primaries. But we don't. So ultimately, it comes down to us. So here we go. A proposal to pass pieces of the bill. So they were going to take the bill, the SAVE Act, and they were going to take pieces of it. The piece that mandates voter ID and proof of citizenship to register to vote. So voter ID to vote. And then if you move and you have to re-register, you have to prove that you're a citizen. And they were going to use the same process that they used to push the big, beautiful bill through last year. But get this. Now, conservatives in the Republican Party don't want to do that. Keith Self out of Texas said the parliamentarian will kill any provision of the SAVE Act in 2 seconds. They're not going to let it go through reconciliation because it's policy. It's not budget. So you can only use reconciliation for budgetary items, and this is not budgetary. So they can propose it, but it ain't going anywhere. And here's the thing. They know it. They know that. They're playing games with us. They're totally messing with us. Reconciliation would allow Republicans to circumvent a Democrat filibuster in the Senate, but it has strict rules as to what can be included, and the bill would have to go through what they call a birdbath, B-Y-R-D for Senator Byrd, which allows the Senate parliamentarian to strip out extraneous provisions. Anna Paulina Luna accused the Senate of lying to the American people, and she said, Save America Act cannot pass through budget reconciliation. They think you're stupid. I'm calling them out, and I'm not going to play their game. Mike Lee, he's a lead sponsor of the bill. Rick Scott have also said that can't be done. There are many things the Senate can pass with a simple majority using the procedure known as budget reconciliation. But the Save America Act is not one of them. We need to keep debating on it until it passes. Lindsey Graham said the committee will expeditiously move towards creating a second reconciliation bill after consulting with Trump and John Thune, noting that he thinks there'll be many opportunities to improve voter integrity in the package. All right, I'll take your calls, 901-260-5926, or if you're on X, you can just tag me in a post on X, and I will do my best to multitask and read it on the air. Coming up, President Trump had a lot to say to Republicans about this. He was at the NRCC and he had a lot to say about this. So I will get to that. And also, one Democrat who I never had money on, this guy being the voice of common sense, but yet he is, he spoke out on this as well. You know who it is. That's coming up on the Todd Starnes Show.
Mm-hmm.
welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. So, I want to go to cut one. Here is President Trump trying his best. I mean, it's so hard. It's kind of sad. President Trump fights so hard, and then he gets somebody like John Thune who just steadfastly refuses to listen to him. Here he is trying to get him to move.
If our Republican majority stand up for these priorities, the American people will stand with us in record numbers. We have to be strong. We have to be tough. And we can't let these thugs on the other side of the aisle push us around, because what they're doing right now is wrong. And the public knows it. Now the public knows it. And they're on our side. But you have to fight, and you have to be tough. You have to be much tougher. And you have to stick together. Republicans have to stick together.
And they don't. They refuse to. I don't understand why. Is it John Thune? Do you want to get rid of John Thune? I think we should. 901-260-5926. If he will not get rid of the filibuster, then it's time to get rid of him. That's just me. And I don't know how you feel about that. I was not for it. I know I have friends who are like, no, we can't get rid of the filibuster. And I'm like, dude, they're going to get rid of the filibuster. Gunther Eagleman on X said, if the GOP could nuke the filibuster, fund DHS and pass the SAVE Act and be home for dinner if they wanted to. Very true. President Trump, 3 posts on X today. He says, Chuck Schumer. Let me make sure I get him in the right time. Oh, he starts out, when is enough enough for our Republican senators? There comes a time when you must do what you should have been doing, should have done a long time ago, and something which the lunatic Democrats will do on day one if they ever get the chance. Terminate the filibuster. Get our airports and everything else moving again. Also, add the complete, all 5 items, Save America Act. Go for the gold. President DJT. Then he, 8 minutes later, terminate the filibuster. And then 22 minutes after that, he put out, Chuck Schumer, a desperate, crippled politician who has lost control of the radical left, Democrats, will make a deal now because he thinks that if he doesn't, Republicans will terminate the filibuster, something which they should do, whether he makes a deal or not. And it's just silence from Republicans. They're going to go home. They're just going to go home. Now, you do have Ted Cruz, who sent a letter to the financial clerk of the Senate, and he said for the remainder of the current partial lapse in appropriation, please hold my salary check for pickup in the disbursing office. It is not right for members of Congress to be paid during a partial shutdown if the working men and women of the Department of Homeland Security aren't paid. Thank you for your attention to this request. Good for him. Good for Ted Cruz for doing that. I applaud him for doing that. It's fantastic. So, let's see. So they can't do it through reconciliation. All right. Mike Lee and Rick Scott also said that they can't do it. Lindsey Graham said Wednesday that the committee will expeditiously move towards creating a second reconciliation bill after consulting with Trump and Senate Majority Leader Thune, noting that he thinks there'll be many opportunities to improve voter integrity. That's not what we want. Just pass the darn SAVE Act. That's what people want. It's not that hard, boys. Coming up, next hour, we'll be joined by Luke Symbol, Republican strategist. Going to talk to him about this, get into this a little bit more, and I also have some more audio for you about that. Also, Letitia James, back in the news. She's probably not happy about that, but I'm tickled. That's next, coming up on the Todd Starnes Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Texas, that's right. I love this American ride.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Mary Walter, sitting in the seat at the Liberty University studios for Todd. You are always welcome to join me at 901-260 5926. Or you can reach out to me on X at Mary Walter Radio and just tag me in a post there. There is so much that that I want to talk to you about, and hopefully we'll get to all of it. I have a bunch of these tweets that I have bookmarked for you guys. We'll go to Victor Davis Hanson coming up. There's just so much. I want to go back to Trump and him trying to rally the Republicans, because it's so crazy to me. It is so annoying to me that he did. So here we go. Cut to President Trump telling. Now, all right, let me stop. President Trump's like a crazy negotiator, right? Like, I when he first was president in 45, I would question stuff he was doing. And I rapidly came to learn that President Trump is about four steps ahead. Like, he thinks far ahead, right? And he just has that ability. Some people just have that ability to say, well, you know, if I do this, then this will happen, this will happen, this will, and then I'll get what I want over here. So he's the guy who has that ability. And here he is telling Republicans what you need to do. Do this, because you're going to make life easier for everybody if you do this, you know, the new filibuster. And you can almost hear the frustration in his voice. Here's President Trump telling Republicans what to do.
If they take power, and it's more likely that they take power if we don't do it, because we're not going to be passing any legislation, not going to approve anything. We're going to go 3 1/4 years. There won't be one bill that we're going to pass. Because the easiest thing to pass is exactly right now what they won't pass. And they'll do that, and they'll wreak havoc. But let's assume they get in. They're doing it anyway, so it wouldn't matter. They're doing it anyway. And, you know, I have a case where I have great U.S. attorneys that can't be approved because of the blue slips. The blue slips, I think you should terminate blue slips, too. It's a mental termination because it's really a custom. But if you have a Democrat senator or two, two is bad, but it doesn't make any difference. If you have one senator writes a negative letter on some great U.S. attorney, we had it in Manhattan, Southern District, Jay Clayton, one of the most respected lawyers in the whole country, by far one of the most respected, and couldn't get approved. The courts approved him. The courts couldn't believe it. They did it like instantly. He went to the best schools, got the best marks, top of his class.
But they won't approve anything. So Democrats are obstructing every single step of the way, which is what their base wants. We want Republicans to fight every step of the way. Democrats are getting exactly what they voted for. We're not. We're not getting it at all. So it's time to get rid of the filibuster, and it is time to get the SAVE Act passed, and just got to move forward. I want to go to cut four, because, and this was on News Nation with Chris Cuomo. And I just want you to listen to the one Democrat who has any common sense whatsoever.
Why are we doing this? We just don't get it. I mean, these are not rich people. They make around $50,000 a year. That should be our wheelhouse. These are the kind of people that we should be fighting for. And now we're talking about affordability, and now we're denying them to their paychecks. And now here, and we knew going into it that shutdown of DHS would have zero impact on forcing any kinds of changes at ICE. And that's here we are right now. So what is it that we really get out of it? You know, all we've done is we've punished TSA and other employees under DHS and made us less safe, and now creating mass chaos in our air traffic system across America.
Yeah. So what are we getting for this? You know, let's talk about, you know, the SAVE Act leads to the shutdown, leads to the use of ICE, and the use of ICE in the airports. Brilliant. Is it brilliant? Was it a great idea that President Trump had to do that? Is it a genius move, or is he releasing pressure from the Democrats? If you had these lines super, super long every single day, anytime somebody wants to fly, Democrats are getting the blame. And I do think that the majority of people know that it's the Democrats. I really do. I think the majority of people know that that's what it is. So, or was it a genius move that President Trump managed to not only relieve the pressure, but humanize the ICE agents at the same time. They're there handing out water. They're relieving TSA agents from things like guarding doors to make sure people don't go out these doors and that type of thing. So, and then allowing these ICE agents to be able to open up, you know, another checkout lane. And so the wait's down to an hour from 5 hours. So what President Trump did, I thought initially, I'm like, he's letting them off the hook. By putting in ICE agents, he's angering them because he knows how to troll the left. Oh, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. But I thought he was letting them off the hook. But is he maybe humanizing ICE agents and helping them? And people are seeing friendly ICE agents handing out water, you know, making things run more smoothly. Is that what he did? But at the same time, he's taking them off the streets when they should be out there arresting these criminal illegals. They're being taken off of that. So do Democrats win? It's a very, very mixed bag for me on this. I don't know about you, but it's for me, it's a very, very mixed bag. 908-260-5926. I'm curious, what do you think? Do you love this? I mean, if you're flying, you're probably very happy, right? I have a friend who's flying, but he's flying out of a small airport into Newark, so it's okay. At the smaller airports having problems. And sometimes airports aren't having problems. Like, you don't see these huge lines at, for instance, Newark Airport, because some of these places contract out agents. Because they have the contracted out agents, it's a different source of funding, apparently. But not every place has these big backups because of that. So passengers in Houston. Now, Breitbart, Texas, went to Terminal A at George Bush International Airport about 5:30 yesterday in the morning. And at the time, the website was indicating a four-hour wait. 4 hours. After checking luggage, they said they were directed to the subway level 2 floors below to get in line for TSA screening. And the thing about this is terrible also. You check your luggage, so your luggage is going to make it on the plane, but you may not. Now your luggage is that one piece of luggage that's just going round and round and round on the carousel. And I don't know of a terminal anywhere that actually checks those little tags that they give you to prove that it's your bag. Nobody ever checks that. Who was the guy who worked for Biden, the cross-dressing guy who was in charge of like nuclear or something, who stole the bag? Sam. Remember the guy? He stole the bags, and the bags had some woman's, you know, some designer's clothes. And then he got caught because he was Sam Britton. Was that his name? He got caught because he was wearing her clothes. Remember that? It's so easy to do, which is why it's like Hunger Games at the baggage carousel, because everybody wants to be right where the bags come out, so it doesn't have a chance to go partway around and somebody else just takes it. Not that anybody would want my stuff, but still, it's your stuff, right? So so that's part of the problem with this. So it's 4 hours to get in. They said the walk to the end of the line in the underground tunnel went on for about a half to three quarters of a mile. The return walk waiting in the line took about an hour. At that point, airport guides directed them to the second floor, where a winding line continued through baggage claim, passenger pickup lobby, eventually leading to an escalator to the main security line. During the process, Breitbart learned that ICE officers were beginning to arrive for their shift. About 20 minutes later, they said officers were about to relocate TSA workers from non-screening locations, and they freed up TSA agents to conduct screening operations. So the TSA agents weren't like policing the lines and doing all that stuff. They got to go upstairs and do their screening, and it went faster. Several of the ICE officers told Breitbart this was their second day helping at the airports. Tuesday, the line stretched for 5 to 6 hours, but by 10 a.m. on Wednesday, the wait time was reduced to less than an hour. They said, we're happy to help, but we would much rather be out there doing the job that we're paid to do. Now, speaking of them, let's go to cut six. This is Larry Krasner, and he is the Philadelphia County District Attorney. How the heck you people in Philadelphia reelected this man is beyond me. But you know what? You hit the government you vote for. So I'm just going to sit back and laugh at you, because when you get exactly what you vote for and you're surprised for it, I just pop open a beer, pop the corn, sit back and laugh at you. So here is Larry Krasmer. He's a real gem. And he was standing in the airport. And he's talking about, you know, ICE is not allowed in our city. And he's so tough. Like, I love when these guys play tough guy when they're behind a microphone, but yet they have a security of like 150 officers so they can be tough. They can talk all tough because somebody else is going to have to, you know, handle, you know, the check that this guy's writing with his mouth. So here he is talking about ICE agents and threatening them.
This is how it works. You commit crimes within the jurisdiction that is the city and county of Philadelphia, I prosecute you. That is how it works. No, I don't take a phone call from the president saying let him go. No, the president cannot pardon you. I'll say it again. The president cannot pardon you. And yes, I will put you in handcuffs, and I will put you in a courtroom, and if necessary, I will put you in a jail cell. If you decide to make the terrazzo floor of this airport anything like what you did in the streets of Minneapolis, which involved the criminal homicide of unarmed, innocent people. We are not having that here. But let me go back to all ICE agents who are going to keep their oath, who are going to follow the law and uphold the Constitution of the United States. Thank you for keeping your oath. To any agent who might think about doing it an illegal way, I'll be seeing you in court, and you're not going to like it.
You know, he paints these, he's such a big talker, such a big man. I don't know who he is, but he's probably like 4 foot nothing, because that's how he speaks. He speaks like someone who's 4 foot nothing, who has some power. Always pick last for dodgeball and he got power. But he makes it sound like they're the criminals. They're the ones who instigated what happened in Minneapolis. They're the ones for the violence in Minneapolis. They're not. They weren't. They were doing their job. If Tim Walz and Jacob Frey had cooperated with the federal government as they are obligated to do, they were the ones breaking the law, not the ICE agents. The criminals would have been handed over at the facility at which they were being held very quietly, very calmly. They would have been put in the back of a car and off they would have gone. But Larry Krasmer, you're not going to do that in my city. I'm a big talker. It's almost comical. It's embarrassing. The ICE agents are there handing out water, dude. Shut up. Sit down and shut up. But he's very full of himself. Look, he's backed by Soros. He's got a ton of money behind him. And he got reelected. So he does have certain bragging rights. You know, he can brag a little bit. And Democrats are just, they're doubling down. You had a guy on, Jason Crow was on with Will Cain on Fox talking about, if ICE agents are going to kill people, they're not going to kill anybody, which I don't know if you saw the videos. There's people who really believe that. There were people in line. I was nervous because I heard the ICE agents were here. And like, what were you nervous about? Really? What were you nervous about? But there's a group of people who are very emotionally driven who believe whatever it is they're told on their favorite news channel. And I think that goes both ways. You have to take it upon yourself to get out of your bubble and expand your knowledge, in my humble opinion, so that you don't sound like a big dummy when you go to the airport and go, I'm really nervous the ICE agents are here. And people are looking at you like, what the hell's wrong with you? And hoping that you're not on their plane. All right. We've got some more coming up. But first, everyday Americans make choices that shape our country's future. And it's right down to which cell phone provider they support. Now, here's what most people don't realize. Patriot Mobile isn't just a wireless provider. They're an activist organization funded by selling top-tier cell phone service. They have been on the front lines defending our freedoms long before it was cool, standing in the gap when others wouldn't. Now, the best part is they deliver prioritized premium service on all three major U.S. networks, then give you the same or even better coverage backed by 100% U.S.-based customer support. Get unlimited plans, mobile hotspots, international roaming, and more. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you'll help grow a movement that fuels the Christian conservative cause. Every bill you pay helps advance the values of faith, family, and freedom. Switching is easier than ever. You can activate in minutes. You keep your number, keep your phone, or you can upgrade. So take a stand today. Go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT and use the promo code Todd for a free month of service. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT and make the switch today. All right, welcome back. I had to tell you, Letitia James, back in the news. I said, oh, I saw this. I was like, oh, gotta talk about this. A Trump administration official has made new criminal referrals against the New York AG, Letitia James, and she was referred to federal prosecutors in Miami and Chicago for two cases of possible homeowners insurance fraud. As according to CBS News, Bill Pulte, who is the Federal Housing Finance Agency director, said in a letter yesterday to prosecutors in Florida that she may have falsified information on her homeowner's insurance application to a Fort Lauderdale-based insurance company. He sent one of the referrals to the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of Florida. That prosecutor is currently leading another investigation into some Obama-era officials, including John Brennan. Mm-hmm. Remember, we know that Comey just got a subpoena, right? And this is all going back to the 2016 election. In a separate letter, sent to the U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of Illinois, it was alleged that James may have falsified information on an application to an Illinois-based insurance company. Now, she's going to get off. I have zero expectations that she will see justice. Zero. Because either there's going to be a technicality or they will not get any kind of conviction because she's a Democrat. Even in Miami. Maybe in Miami. Maybe. But definitely not in Chicago. That's not going to happen at all, in my humble opinion. Coming up, Republican strategist Luke Symbol will be joining us. That's next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Todd Stern Show.
Another thing that your colleagues that you caucus with, Democrats, are working on with Republicans is ending the DHS shutdown. Do you believe that Democrats have achieved anything as a part of the DHS shutdown?
I think they try to make the point that ICE is out of control. ICE is out of control, and it needs fundamental reforms.
And did they make that point, in your view?
Well, you'll have to judge that. I think they're trying very hard.
Well, there's Bernie. What do you think you've accomplished? Well, we're trying really hard. I'm Mary Walter, sitting in for Todd Starnes. Let's talk about that with Republican strategist Luke Symbol. You can find him on X at Luke Symbol, like the instrument, S-C-Y-M-B-A-L. What an easy name. Luke, thank you so much for joining me. It's great to have you.
Well, it's great to have you. And I am actually sitting, I'm in Memphis where Todd broadcasts his show. I am sitting in his seat right now. So I'm in the big seat. I hope I can fill it accordingly, but pretty excited to be here with you.
Yeah, don't do anything to mess it up because I'm sure his seat is like very particular. It's molded exactly to him.
I know. I'm not even like moving the headphones. I'm going to keep them exact. Don't worry, Todd. I'm not touching anything, but I do love sitting here.
Exactly. He's probably right now on his way to the station. So what did you think about what you heard there with Bernie? He was asked, with Caitlin Collins asking him on CNN, so what exactly have you guys accomplished? And he was just like, well, we're trying really hard.
Yeah, what they've accomplished is a disaster at airports across the country, and ICE is having to go and fix it. They're getting nothing there, other than I think the bad press is going to start. You know, unfortunately, I actually read an article earlier this week that they weren't yet starting to get, you know, it wasn't affecting the poll numbers at all, but we may need to do a better job communicating that it is, in fact, the Democrats that are shutting down the government to make our country less safe. You know, they don't like ICE. Okay, they don't like removing criminal illegal aliens from the country. They don't like targeting people who shouldn't be here in the first place, who have committed additional crimes, because that's the ones they're targeting right now. They're targeting the criminals that were caught and then released by the Biden administration and these local woke sheriff's departments in Minneapolis and other places, you know, around the country with these sanctuary city policies. When they caught a criminal that happened to be a legal alien, oh, release them right away. We don't want to deport them. It's just, it's ridiculous. And we have to keep talking about it and sounding the alarm. And, you know, the podcasters have to stop fighting amongst themselves and get on message.
So here's my thing. You're in touch with the Republicans, so do me a favor. Could you talk to them? They're horrific with messaging. Horrific with messaging for 30 years, okay? It's taken 30 years, and everybody keeps telling them, and somehow they don't get it. They need to do what Barron did when it came to getting President Trump on podcasts and things like that. Could they get some young people in to make some really snarky, trolling commercials that are played on television, played everywhere? Things like people waiting in long lines at the airport going, "Thanks, Democrats, I didn't need to make my flight anyway." You know, like things like that.
You are exactly right. And I like to say I never underestimate the Republicans' ability to mess it up, except I usually use a different word than mess, and I'm on the radio, I can't say it. But it's true. And we could be winning on the narrative. I mean, remember after Trump's State of the Union speech, before we were struggling a little bit, he got the Republican Party back on message. We had a great week of winning, and now we've just unraveled again. It's so frustrating. And what I tell Republicans all the time, whether you are running for mayor all the way up to even a national office, focus on the issues that people are talking about at the kitchen table. It's been the same thing for years and years and years. It's the economy, right? How expensive is gas? How expensive are eggs? What are interest rates doing? Can families, as they expand, afford to buy a larger home? It's crime. You know, I'm sitting here in Memphis, and we have the Memphis Safe Task Force here, thanks to President Trump and advocacy from Senator Blackburn and others. We have the Memphis Safe Task Force here cleaning up crime, and that's all anybody's talking about. So I tell our local candidates, talk about crime, talk about education, talk about the issues that affect people in their everyday lives. And that's what we need to focus on, and that's the winning message, and just stay on it.
Yeah, but they can't. And I don't understand why. It is one of the most maddening things ever. I am not, and I say this all the time, I am not a registered Republican for a reason, because I don't want to sign up to play for a team that doesn't want to fight. They don't want to play. They don't want to play the game. They would prefer to continually walk into Congress every single day, hand the Democrats their lunch money, you know, let them punch them in the arm, and then go to their table. As long as they get reelected, they don't care. Which brings me to the SAVE Act. Is this going to be a game changer, the SAVE Act? For whatever reason, John Thune's got to go. He's got to go. And he's not going to. The writing is on the wall. We've seen this play a zillion times. They're going to go away for vacation. They're going to go away for 2 weeks. This is going to drag on. TSA agents are just going to continue to quit. Trump is taking ICE agents off the streets in order to help out at the airports, which is great because it's kind of a troll of the Democrats. But it's taking the ICE agents off of what they really should be doing. And this is, and the Democrats are probably saying, thank you so much, because now we can ride this through to midterms. You're taking care of the problem. Pressure's off us right now. And Republicans are not going to pass the SAVE Act. They're not going to end the filibuster. They're going to get their butts handed to them in November. And come January, the filibuster's gone. Supreme Court's 13. They pack it with liberals. And they've got D.C. and Puerto Rico as states. And Republicans never win another election for the next 30 years.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I don't know what Thune is doing. And in fact, I think it's just a purposeful sabotage at this point. Todd Starnes.
Yes.
Todd Starnes had a tweet that went viral yesterday. And he started it by saying Senate Republicans never had any intention of passing the Save America Act. That's what it looks like to me. What it looks like to me. And this is a 80-20 issue. This bill, no matter how the Democrats try to spin it, is so common sense. You have to have an ID to vote. We need to make sure that our elections are secure. That is pure common sense. And the fact that we cannot get something like that through the Senate, the fact that we cannot have Senate Republicans say, you know what, we're going to end the filibuster because Democrats want to ruin the country. And that's what they're going to do if we don't have secure elections. And this goes back again to what we were just talking about with the messaging. Republicans, this is a common sense issue that they should be focusing on, and yet they're not. And you have people like Thune in the Senate. And you know what? I want, like, can Tim Burchett run for Senate and, like, he can be the leader? Like, we just need common sense people that are unafraid to be like, this is ridiculous. Let's just get it done.
Yeah, Mike Lee. And correct me if I'm wrong, you only need 5 senators to say we want to replace them to trigger a vote.
They're afraid of leadership and they want to maintain friends and whatever. I don't know, but it's ridiculous. And honestly, if these senators are willing to stand up, if you have 5 senators willing to stand up and say, if you can't get the SAVE Act passed, you need to go, they would be so popular around the country. And again, do you care more about the inner politics of the Senate and getting into leadership and being liked by leadership, or do you care about being liked by the American people? And I'm going to choose the American people every single time, but I'm also not in the Senate. So it's very discouraging for us all.
Ultimately, what's the game here for Republican leadership? It's the leadership. And like you said, there's a lot that are going along with it. Like Ted Cruz, though, he wrote a letter, says, please hold my pay as long as TSA is not getting paid. Democrats voted that down. Democrats said, well, I need to pay my mortgage. They voted that down. They stand in opposition to anything that benefits the American people, and they don't care. And now Republicans seem to be doing it. But yet Democrats are this is going to fall their way, and they're going to ultimately win this battle of wills because Republicans are siding with them. So what do you think the end game is for Republicans? They get beaten in the midterms. All those things happen that we say were going to happen. Now what? So what happens to them?
Well, I guess they stay in office and they watch the downfall of America. I mean, they get rich. Maybe they trade some stocks. Where they're fine for a generation. Maybe they're fine, you know, for the next few decades, and then America is over. And this is so, this is so common sense, especially when you have had unfettered legal, illegal, and legal immigration. When you have millions and millions and millions of people coming into the country, changing the electorate, changing how this country votes. Just look at New York and Mamdani. Look at Minneapolis. Look at Los Angeles. I was just talking to a friend who was in California for a conference, and she said she was trying to find the rental car place in the airport in Los Angeles, and she literally, every staffer she spoke to in the airport was unable to communicate with her because they did not speak English. And this like a normal, like kind of moderate person who was traveling for work and now has had a huge wake-up call about where the country is going. And when you have legal immigrants thinking that they can vote in our elections, and in the state of New York, it is illegal for a poll worker to ask you for identification. I could walk in and say, I'm Mary Walter, and they are not allowed to ask for identification to verify. I could vote. And it's just to steal elections. That's all it is.
Right. And it's the same thing in New Jersey. When I went to go vote, there's more than one Mary Walter in my town, shockingly. Who knew? She has since died, though. And
I can vote as her, I guess.
You could, because I went to go vote, and I voted early, so I had to go to, you know, their town to go vote. And I said, oh, yeah, Mary, she's looking for it. And she asked me, like, well, which one are? I said, here's my ID. She goes, no, I can't look at that. I can't even look at it. Like, you would have thought I was handing her a cobra. She was like, no, can't look at it. That's how ridiculous it is. But to be fair, our governor is a helicopter pilot. So, I mean, really, what else do we need?
What we need is, I have a recipe to save America. Deport every illegal alien. Stop immigration completely for the next 10 years so we can intensely assimilate those legal immigrants who have moved here. And pass voter ID, pass the SAVE Act, and you save America. Those three things, no matter what happens, no matter how bumpy it is, we will have a country to give our children and our grandchildren. But right now, if we cannot pass something as common sense as the SAVE Act, as requiring ID to vote, as requiring to make sure that you are the person you say you are when you vote, ending this mass mail-out ballot scam in the state of Wisconsin. If I am a registered voter, I am automatically shipped a ballot whether I ask for it or not. And there was there's a lady here in Memphis who's involved with the Republican Party. Her son lived in three different places recently in Wisconsin. I think he was a college student or a grad student. And, you know, you move around a lot into various apartments on or off campus. And so he lived in Wisconsin. He's registered to vote in Wisconsin. She received three mail-in ballots for her son at her address in Memphis because the mail was forwarded. You cannot tell me that there is not mass fraud when you are mailing out ballots like that. It is so, so wrong and so easy to cheat. And again, the fact that Thune is not taking a harder stance means he must go.
We've always thought all along that he was a never Trumper, and it's true. He's a never Trumper. And how he, I was shocked when he got the gavel. I was shocked. I was like, wait, what are we doing here? And President Trump is begging them to get rid of the filibuster, and he won't do it. He's like, nope, there's no need to do it. And they're like, no, you really need to do this.
I mean, you don't think that the Democrats will get rid of it immediately when they want something? If they're
in
power?
They said they're going to.
Yep, they've expressly said they're going to. If you're not willing to play the game, then get out of office. Like, we are done. We elected Donald Trump as president. In 2015, that was considered the most far-fetching idea, that somebody like Donald Trump saying the things that he was saying would be elected president of the United States. But it turns out that's what the American people want. And so you don't go wrong following that basic, simple message of America first and securing our elections and no more illegal immigration, no more mass migration. It is a simple recipe, but unfortunately, apparently, the majority of Republicans don't agree with that message.
Yeah, it's just wild, and they get reelected on name recognition, as they well know. All right, hold on. I just have one more thing I want to talk to you about. So can you hold?
I can hold.
Yay! Okay. We've got more coming up with Luke Symbol here on The Todd Starnes Show. And we're here in the Liberty University studios with Luke Symbol on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Well, he's technically not. He's in studio.
I am. So I am in Todd's chair today.
Stop saying that. He's going to hear you. He's going to hear you.
I'm like not even touching his computer. He has all these tabs open. I'm like terrified. I was going to look something up a minute ago, and I did not.
Did it have like a red velvet rope over it?
I don't know. There's a golden microphone. No, I'm just kidding. He's not that bougie, although he's pretty bougie.
Ask him about his living room rug.
I will do that.
It's a very, very funny story. So I thought this was interesting. Letitia James, they're trying to get her again. They have two referrals that were sent from the Federal Housing Finance Agency Director Bill Pulte. One of them went to Miami, one went to Chicago for possible homeowners insurance fraud. If they didn't get her on the mortgage fraud, they ain't getting her on this, right?
I'm concerned. I don't know if there's a lack of appetite, although if there are referrals, maybe there isn't. But, you know, I've been discouraged by a lot of the people who I think need to be prosecuted for what went on during the Biden administration. When you look at the targeting of conservative groups by the Biden administration, when you look at some of these rogue officials leaking information, look, even remember when Trump's tax returns were leaked? Anybody prosecuted? Like, is anybody in jail for that? I don't think so. And there's a problem with the equal opportunity for justice. No matter, you know, there's supposed to be justice is supposed to be blind. And you are supposed to prosecute no matter who it is, whether it's your friend or not. If somebody's committed a major crime, you handle it. And I hear that there is frustration with Pam Bondi on some of this, that why are there not more criminal referrals going on? Why are people not being held accountable? And I think it's a fair question that needs to be asked. And so, you know, I think Letitia James has a complete lack of integrity. I think she has committed crimes, but we have not been successful thus far.
Yeah, I think Pam Bondi's in over her pretty little head.
Do you?
I do. I think she's in over her head. And
I will say she is an incredibly sweet person. When she came, she's been to Memphis several times, and we fed, actually, Todd Starnes fed the Memphis Safe Task Force, and I got to be a part of it, and she was there, and she was incredibly sweet. She's a very nice lady, but sometimes you don't need nice in a position, especially when we are needing so much of this work done. The results can speak for themselves, and I don't know that the results are there. Now, I hope and pray that they're working really hard on it, and we are going to see a lot of changes and a lot of prosecutions. I hope that they are just solidifying an airtight case. They always say when the feds bring a case against you, in many instances, they try to know that they're going to get you, right? There's no more questions left. And so maybe they're just putting together airtight cases, and later this year, we're going to see a flurry of indictments and convictions.
Well, you're adorable.
Wow, thanks.
Look what they did with Lindsey Halligan. Like, nobody figured that one out. Like, that. How did you screw that up so badly?
Yeah, you're right.
Right?
You're right.
So I think she's in over her head, my humble opinion. Very nice woman, but I think, you know, she needs some help. Anyway, we got to run. Luke Symbol, thank you so much for joining me here. Have a great day. You're listening to The Todd Starnes Show.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Mary Walter sitting in for Todd Starnes. Todd is off. I don't know, gallivanting, carousing, who knows, whatever Todd does when he gallivants and or carouses. I think it involves moon pies, but I'm not 100% sure. I don't know where Todd is. I don't know his gym, but I hope he's having a great time. All right, if you want to jump in, 901-260-5926 is the number. 901-260-KWAM. And don't forget, you can reach out to me on X at Mary Walter Radio. Just tag me in a post, and I will get to it ASAP. And I will try to multitask and read those as I go through the show, okay? If you can't give me a call. Although I'd love to hear your melodious voice. Don't forget, my live cast, of which Todd has been on several times, and Grace was on. Remember Grace? Grace was on there. And Ben Dieter was on as well. And a lot of names that you would know, and not always political. Sometimes we have non-political people on. I'll have comedians on and producers and rock and roll photographers and a true crime podcast person and the whole bit. So I try to mix it up and do the best I can. And this next person who is coming on has been on my podcast as well. He is amazing and wonderful, and I love him. Chris Salcedo, host of the Chris Salcedo Show, is here live on the Todd Starnes Show. My worlds are colliding. Hello, Chris.
Mary Walter, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you, my friend?
I am roaming the halls of CPAC right now. And
oh!
I'm coming up on, believe it or not, a demonstration in the middle of the CPAC.
Why? What are they demonstrating? Oh my gosh, is he okay? Did they get him? What if they got him? In Texas, of all places. So CPAC this year is in Texas, which is why I'm not there. I usually go to CPAC when it was in Washington, D.C. They always did it in Washington, D.C., and I loved it because it would get really good guests who happen to be in Washington, right? Senators from all over the country, congressmen and women, great people all over the country. It was really nicely centrally located. And then they moved it to Texas. And I, you know, God bless CPAC. Wonderful organization. Great. They do a great job. It was always really, really fun. But, you know, like 2 weeks ago, I tried to find out who the speakers were going to be. It still wasn't up on their webpage. So when I thought, is he back? Is Chris back? Chris?
I'm back. Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. Do you want to have a safe word that if you say the safe word, we'll call 911?
No, hold on a minute. Regime change for Iran. That's what they're saying.
Okay.
They're praising President Trump, and that's the demonstration. You're hearing it live at CPAC right now, Mary. So
that's awesome.
They're all praising President Trump and the liberation of the Iranian people, and now we're walking into the CPAC main hall.
Okay.
Where we were on Radio Row, and I know you've done your fair share of time on Radio Row. And,
yes.
Looking at all the main stages, it's absolutely a beautiful venue. The Gaylord Texan, I don't know if you've ever been, but of all the Gaylord properties, I said it this morning on my show, and I'll say it to you right now, it is the most fabulous venue that you can that you can be in. I'm looking right now at Dean Cain, Superman himself. He's launching a podcast called Homeland, and he's meeting and greeting right now. He looks... I'm sorry, I'm standing here with my agent. He looks like a politician, doesn't he? Oh my gosh, he looks like a... But he's not. He's really actually a badass law enforcement guy. You know,
yes,
done that kind of thing.
Since you're standing there with Dean Cain, could you please tell him that I think he is totally hot, and I will leave my husband for him.
Okay. Hold on one second. I'll see if I can get in and interrupt him. But he's talking with some folks, and I don't want to interrupt. I'm on with Mary Walter live on the radio right now. She says that she thinks you're gorgeous and would leave her husband for you.
Right.
You're 100% right. Mary Walter, Dean Cain says you're 100% right. So there you go.
Oh, my. Super, I love him even more.
Superman's
endorsement. I will move to Texas.
But yeah, this is great. And again, apologies for the sound, but you know how these things you get, Mary.
You've been
for your fair share of CPAC. So.
It's so funny. I would do call-ins from CPAC, and I would have to like find a corner where I could get around the corner with not too many people in. It's just so loud and so rambunctious and so crazy. And I love that. Yep. I love you with my Gaylord is better than your Gaylord. I love that. Like, that's just in your face.
My Gaylord Texan, I'm sorry, if you've ever been, out of all the Gaylord properties, it is the most magnificent, the most spectacular. I've taken photos. And I got to be honest with you, it is fantastic, Mary. It is the best. So, just wanted you to know. So, hey, you have questions? I'm hoping you have questions for me.
I do. I do have questions for you. But since you are at CPAC, I want to know, is the president going to be there?
I haven't heard. And Matt Schlapp came on the show with me this morning. He didn't mention it. So, I'm not entirely sure.
All right, that's I did want to know. Let me ask you another question. First of all, do you think that it's time for Thune to go? Is it time to get rid of Thune?
About a year ago, yeah. And it's not just Thune. Yeah. Look, it's not just Thune, Mary. He's covering. You know, you get five faces of turncoats: McConnell, Tillis, Murkowski, Curtis, Thune, right? I know I'm missing one, but they are covering up for, and Mark Meadows released the list. They are covering up for senators who want to serve Democrats more than their own voters and maintaining this arbitrary, filibuster 60 vote cloture threshold. It is designed to make sure that the Senate doesn't have to do too much work, but they can get their $174,000 a year at taxpayer expense. It is time for the filibuster to return to its traditional roots. I don't want to nuke it the way the Democrats do. I want it to be a traditional filibuster. The Senate was never intended to be this ineffective. It was never intended to be this lackadaisical and unresponsive to 85% of the country, Mary. You and I both know this. This isn't controversial. I'm not trying to privatize. We're not trying to privatize Social Security. I mean, it's not very controversial. We're talking about voter ID, for crying out loud, and the fact that one half of one third of the federal government cannot deliver on an 85-15 issue means the United States Senate is absolutely worthless. to this country.
100%. Now, there's an idea being floated, Scott Pressler is the one leading it, that if the Republicans, the Senate Republicans, stay in D.C. while the Democrats leave to go on vacation, they can pass the Save America Act with a simple 51 quorum and unanimous consent. Do you think that Republicans have the guts to do that?
No, no. The Republicans, again, there's about 15 on that list from Mark Meadows, 15 in conjunction with the five that we know of who are out there and overtly anti-American and pro-Democrat. So the simple answer is no. If they won't return to the Founding Fathers filibuster tradition, what makes us think that they'll pull some sort of maneuver like a stay in Washington? Hell, Gaines was on the Karl Rove Never Trump Network the other day, confirming they're going on vacation. We'll get back to, you know, guarding our elections when we get back, but, you know, debating on it and putting this arbitrary 60-vote threshold on it. We'll get back to all that, you know, because it should take 60 votes to guard our elections in America. Seriously? That's not a majority thing? Anyway, no, they don't have the guts for it. It's not going to happen. The gimmicks, they won't even do, Mary, what they have at their disposal constitutionally. What makes us think they even have the chutzpah or the courage to do something that is gimmicky? You know, no way.
Yeah. Congratulations on the use. Congratulations on a Texan using some Yiddish there with the chutzpah.
The chutzpah. Thank you.
Chutzpah. You got to get the in there. So what's the end game? So my question is, okay, if this goes the way we think it's going to go, the American people are not going to get what they want. They are going to alienate what, like 80% of the American people. They don't care. Democrats don't care. The bulk, the swamp, or the old time, the old guard Republicans don't care. Midterms roll around. Republicans are going to take the heat for it, and they're going to get decimated. Democrats are going to win. What about those Republicans who just want to keep collecting their money if they get voted out?
If they get voted out, they get voted out. But that requires the American people to get upset enough to vote them out. And I don't know that we have that. You know, I don't know that we have Americans who are willing to, what's the definition of insanity? Keep on doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. Well, we keep on sending these fake Republicans up to Washington, D.C. and expect them to, oh, no, this will be the year, Mary. This will be the year they stand up to Democrats. No, it never happens. I'm so sick and tired of the Uniparty. Sadly, I think they're going to be rewarded. Because there just isn't enough. Hey, nice to see you. Mays Middleton, Attorney General candidate in the state of Texas, just came up and said howdy to me. Mary, I don't think that our voting electorate has it in us to, because John Thune was on the Karl Rove Never Trump Network saying, you know what, we're not gonna destroy the filibuster or change the filibuster. We'll let the Democrats do it. You know, we'll let them do it. And because we don't want to own everything they're gonna do. Trust me, I plan on holding John Thune, Mitch McConnell, Tom Tillis, Lisa Murkowski, even if they're out of office. I plan on holding every one of these Republicans responsible for the harm the Democrats will unleash on this country. And why do I say they will? Because what did they do the last time they had power? They unleashed tremendous harm on this country, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to be living in a communist paradise. This is exactly what's going to happen. We're going to have a packed Supreme Court. We'll have 13 justices, all far left. We'll have two more states. They're going to open the borders to bring all of the illegals in for the census, which they're not even going to really need because Republicans are not going to be able to win elections with gerrymandering and how they plan to just rig everything. So in our lifetime, Chris, we'll never see another Republican majority, I think, in the House, the Senate, or we'll never see another Republican president.
No, it's over. It'll be over. And you can thank John Thune. And John Thune will say, well, at least it wasn't Republicans who destroyed the filibuster. Oh, thank God we kept the filibuster and we lost the country. Great job, John Thune. Great job.
Yeah, I hope that like Mike Lee and Ana Paulina Luna and some of these other Republicans who are standing up and saying, no, no recess. No, we have to stay. And I know Mike Lee has said that he is going to say stay. And you have Katie Britt, who just called for no recess. We're not leaving if the DHS funding doesn't get done. So it would be interesting to see if they could get 51 Republicans to stay and actually accomplish this. I think that's the last. And maybe John Fetterman. You know, 50 Republicans and John Fetterman. Wouldn't that be a kick in the head?
The Republicans were about ready to acquiesce and allow the Democrats to go home and campaign and say, yeah, we got the Republicans to defund ICE. Now, granted, you and I both know that ICE was funded through the Big Beautiful Bill. But do you think that the Democrat voters know that? No, they're the most uninformed people on planet Earth, right? And the right. Democrats love keeping them dumb and stupid and uninformed. So they're going to go home and say, the Republicans agree with me. The biased press will say the Republicans agree with the Democrats. They agree to defund ICE. They are now co-owners of defund the police. That's what the Democrats are going to do. And so the people on our side who aren't as informed as they should be, they're going to buy it. So that was their, let's get DHS open. Yeah, let's defund the police. And the Republicans are about ready to give the Democrats cover on that. And I guess it's because Chuck Schumer said, hey, if the Republicans are willing to cave to terrorism, let's ask for more.
It's so sad. It is so, so sad. Well, now I'm really depressed. I hope you're happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Chris Salcedo, thank you so much. I'm going to let you go back and enjoy your CPAC. I at the best Gaylord there is on the face of the planet. It has to be in Texas. I'm sorry I'm not there.
CPAC to Mary Walter and the Todd Starnes Show, and it's my honor to do so.
Well, you're sweet. Tell everybody we said hello. Please give Dean K my number. Thank you so much, Chris. Have fun.
Hi, lady. Bye.
Bye. Chris Salcedo from the Chris Salcedo Show. He's so much fun. All right. Coming up, I'm going to have some fun with Dylan. I have a couple things to talk to him about because we're coming into the weekend. There's more news to get to, but I do want to get to this because it's a little lighter. It's a little bit fun, and I'm not with you tomorrow. So normally I would do this on a Friday, but I'm not with you tomorrow. So we're going to do it today. And maybe you want to join in, 901-260-5926 or Mary Walter Radio on X. Coming up. Don't go anywhere. Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. So, coming up after the bottom of the hour, young Dylan here is going to be joining me because I had some questions for him and five different situations of dating and young Gen X men. And I think it could be very, very interesting and fun. In the meantime, little news out of Southern California. The University of Southern California was supposed to have a California primary gubernatorial debate. So here's the thing. California does this system where the top two vote getters, Democrat, Republican, whatever, the two people who get the most votes, regardless of party, are the two people who run for governor in that state. And right now, the top two vote getters are two Republican candidates, which is hilarious. Steve Hilton is one of them, and the Sheriff Chad Bianco. Those are the top two vote getters right now. So California could very well get a Republican governor by default, which is hilarious and going to be awesome to watch. Probably won't happen because Democrats will cheat, as they always do. But this is a quandary for them. So they're supposed to have the gubernatorial debate. They cancel it. And they canceled it because all of the candidates were white. That's why they canceled it. This is why California is such a dumb place. This is why it's such a stupid place. It's like my husband and I refer to COVID as the stupid times. Well, when we were living in the stupid times, California, it's like, well, when you were living in the stupid state, so USC and KABC-TV invited Chad Bianco and Steve Hilton, because they're the top two, Eric Swalwell, former rep Katie Porter, you know her, she was the one who's yelling at her staffer, San Jose Mayor Matt Mahan, and this guy Tom Steyer, left-wing billionaire, to the debate based on combined poll standings and campaign funds. So they had standards, and they said you had to meet these standards in order to get on the stage. Well, they're all white. Too bad, so sad. So excluded Democrat candidates, including former Secretary of Health and Human Services Javier Becerra, or as Biden called him, Javier Becerra, Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villagrosa, and former State Controller Betty Yee. So they complained. So they decide we're just not going to have the debate now. This is the dumbest thing ever. We're living in stupid times. Mary Walter, Todd Starn Show. All right, we are back on the Todd Starn Show. Todd's back today tomorrow, I think. If not, he's cheating on me with someone else, which is totally and completely possible. But we won't tell him. Well, he'll know. We won't tell him that we know. Anyway, okay, if you want to jump in, 901-260-5926, or you can reach out to me on X at Mary Walter Radio. All right, you can do that too. So, young Dylan is here because I have a question for him. And what it entails is this video from a group on X called Famous Bachelors. Now, these famous bachelors are in their 20s, right? They're in their 20s, right, Dylan?
Yeah, it would appear to be so, yeah.
Okay. So, and they do things like they got, stood up on a date or got the side hug, and they talk about what it means and everything. So they had a little discussion, and Dylan broke it down into the five different topics that they hit. So this is, they're discussing, one guy's discussing what happened with a date. So we'll just go with cut 10. We'll start at the top, and we're going to talk about this because the comments on this video are like, Gen X is just toast. You guys in Gen X, you're just toast, because I don't think anyone taught them what it means to be a gentleman. So here's the first one, opening the door.
I open the door, and because I am a gentleman, I look back with the intention of holding the door. I make eye contact, and I'm like, okay, this is taking forever. So I just go in.
You're telling me that you started to hold the door open, you looked back, you made eye contact with her, and you chose not to hold the door?
Yes.
Like, that's your mistake.
Yeah.
Right. So Dylan, did you see anything wrong with that?
Well, okay. So I am a part of the Gen Z. I'm a fellow Gen Zer, right? So there's a limit to maybe door holding, in that sense that if you're holding it too long, that you will lose your group. Like, if you're with your group, you can lose them if you're there for about a minute or so, right? But in this particular sense, it seems like there was a girl that was headed his way, and he definitely saw her, and then he just left it. And that's the wrong move.
Right, because she was taking too long. It sounded like it was his date. But here's the thing. You might lose your group. Can we address that? They don't wait for you?
In my experience, they just keep walking because they don't know that I'm still at the door. I've been caught in this scenario at least 3 times. Where I've been the nice guy that holds the door, maybe just the normal guy. Like, you should hold the door.
Right.
But
right.
If it's like a, say it's a basketball game and a bunch of people are headed out the door, not everyone is going to grab it for you. So if that never happens, you're stuck just at the door for forever.
True. You get stuck holding the door, or you could just say, I got to go. I'm losing my group. You know, to me, this sounded like a date situation.
Yeah, it does.
This was not like I'm holding the door for an entire stadium of basketball people, you know, to come out the door. This sounded like it was his date, and he looked back and she was taking too long, made eye contact with her, and because she was taking too long, he just walked through the door and she could pull it open on her own when she gets there.
Yeah, absolutely. He deserves to be single if that's the case. I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt since he is a Gen Z guy, but I feel let down by this clip for sure.
Okay. All right. If anybody wants to comment on any of these, we're just having some fun. 901-260-5926. Okay, let's go to cut 11. This is classic.
Walking in the car, that's not a big deal, right?
That's what went wrong.
That's why she didn't text you back.
No. That's an integral step, dude. You have to, especially at night.
But I didn't! Why not?
Okay,
because it was cold outside and it was dark. Why would I want to walk her?
Why are you needing to walk her to her car?
I didn't want to walk her to her car because it was cold and it was dark.
I love his friend's response. Like, that is the whole point why you do it. Like, this one is the biggest no-brainer of all of them, I think.
Right?
Yeah. It's just, you walk her to the car. It doesn't even matter if it's cold or hot. Like, do you want to protect her? Do you want her to make it to her car? Do you know that she's thinking about what happens if she's at her car alone? No. You got to go with her.
Even as a grown adult, I am closer to death than I am to birth, right? And when I go out with, I'm very tight with a group of people from high school. And we'll get out, we'll go to get out to dinner, we'll sometimes go see a friend of ours who plays in a band, whatever it happens to be. And sometimes my husband doesn't go because he's in a different class, he wasn't a part of my class. And so he goes, and do you know if I'm leaving, one of the guys will walk me to my car every single time.
Yeah, as he should.
Right.
It's not even, it doesn't even have to be a romantic thing. It's just to make sure you're safe. It's a safety thing. But it will get you single if you don't do it. It will make you hated.
They're like, did you hear the one guy? And that's why she didn't return your text.
Yeah.
For all you know, she was kidnapped and is missing right now. Seriously. And that's why she didn't return your text.
Even as a guy, I check my back seat. I'll check behind the car. I'll check the cars around me if I'm just walking to my car alone. So I can't imagine what girls think. It's probably 10 times that, right?
Yeah, when I'm going to get in my car, I'm even that person who, when I step in my car, if I can, I take the wide step in case there's someone under the car, because that was a thing for a while.
Yeah.
Like, there was someone under the car and they would grab your leg and knock you over, yeah. Right? So I take the wide step. So like, it's far, so like, they would have to really come out from under the car. And if they try to grab their leg, I can smash their head, you know?
Right.
And
just jump in the car.
Right. I catapult myself in just in case. But yes, I look in the back car, the back window too, right? I look in the back of the car.
Yeah.
And I have my pepper spray ready at all times.
There you go. There you go.
Always. And with my luck, I'm going to spray it in the car and pepper spray myself. But okay. So those are two things. Opening the door for the, yes, because this generation, your generation, no offense, but say, well, why should I do that? Why do I have to do that?
Right.
It's like, because it's the polite thing to do. So what? Who cares? I don't know these people. I don't have to be polite to them. It's a very odd thing. Did your parents not teach you this?
Yeah. And you brought that up in the first hour. You're like, the parents must have not shown them how it's done. Because I watched my dad every single time my mom's car was empty. This is just a separate example on gas. I watched him go fill it up no matter what time of the night or day it is. And that's just, like, it's chivalrous. It's chivalry. It's not about you. Like, think of the other person for once.
Right. Yeah, there's certain things that men do for women. There's certain things women do for men. Like, even when we go to the grocery store, when we're coming out, if we happen to go together for whatever reason, we're running errands together, my husband will open my car door to let me in the car. I'm like, it's okay, I got it. He said, no. And he opens the door, makes sure I'm in, and then closes it and gets in the car.
He was raised
every
right.
Every single time. Yes. I beat him into submission. No, I'm kidding. All right, let's go to number 12. This is funny.
So she's trying to handshake me, and I'm trying to come in for a friendly hug. So I go in like this.
The girl was
forced to the hug.
You were 10 feet away from her, therefore making her scared. Defense mechanism puts out the hand to guard against the hug.
And your hug was romantic.
It was not romantic.
So basically, she put her hand out for a handshake, and he went in for the hug anyway.
That's awkward.
And didn't know it was the wrong thing.
That's hard. That's hard to hear. And it's more even, it's harder to experience yourself, because that has certainly happened. I think every guy has experienced an unrecognized body language signal. It's like, I'm nervous. I don't know if she wants to hug me. I don't know if a handshake is even romantic or polite. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt here, because those quick motions when you see someone is, it's hard to read sometimes if you're really nervous.
Yeah, all right, fine. I just think, I don't think that a handshake is ever romantic. Like, I don't know why that's even a question.
Well, if it's like, if you're meeting them for the first time, a handshake, sure. But if it's a date, I always assume maybe side hug. Maybe I shouldn't assume that. I am married now, so I'm more of a mentor, I think. But I don't know
so
if
mentor.
I went in for a handshake. I can't remember.
Listen, somebody gives you their hand, and it's far enough away that when you come in for the hug, you squish the hand. Like, the hand got squished between the two of them when he demonstrated it.
Yeah.
You had enough warning,
dude.
Seriously?
If it's far enough away where you can see her hand extend and you still go in for the hug, that's wrong.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
All right, let's do number cut 13 here. Here's another classic.
I said, do you want to split the bill? And she said, okay.
It doesn't matter if her dad's a billionaire.
It's a matter of principle.
And she's the prince of Italy. You pay the whole bill if it's a girl.
Well, I didn't.
I just love that she could be the prince of Italy, but he was on a roll.
Yeah, he's trying to make a point here. Yeah, you get the bill. If you're dating, you get the bill. I'm sorry.
Like, so why is it? Why do men? I guess it's because in the past, men always made more money than women. That's just the way it was.
Yep.
And so is the idea of, I see this a lot on X and on you know, TikTok and Instagram and stuff. A lot of women want a man who's going to be a provider. Is that whole thing coming back?
I think so for some women. I've seen this sort of culture shift change as well, because, you know, not all men make more than their partners now, which is totally fine. I mean, if the girl's fine with it and she still chooses you, then just be lucky, be thankful. But the split the bill thing, I always saw it as a providing thing for dates, at least. You know, now that I'm married, it's kind of like her money's mine, my money's hers, so we're both paying, but I always get the check and I always pay it with a card, and I don't really know the full reason why that's a thing, but that's just how I was raised.
Yeah, now that you landed her, you don't have to pretend anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't matter as much. Like, she can pay for it, I can pay for it, but generally I will.
Right. Okay. See, and I think that if a woman chooses to split it with you, especially like a first date, I think there's, you got to read the vibe, right? Yep. So the first date, a lot of times, I think if she asks, then she pays. Like, if she goes up and asks a guy out, then she pays.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard that.
Right? But I also think that it's polite for a woman to offer.
Okay, yeah.
And then it's up to him. And if you offer and he accepts, you can't get mad.
Right, right. You can't get mad if he's like, okay, what are we splitting in here?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so let's go to the last one. This is so funny.
You said no to this girl inviting you over because you didn't like tea?
Yeah.
Tea does not mean tea.
No, tea.
Tea means hanging out one on one.
Coffee can mean anything.
Tea is way too specific. She might have been English.
She might have been English.
It's a good point. You never can assume.
You said no because you don't like tea. I think he just didn't like the girl.
That's probably what it was. Because, I mean, yeah, you got to pick up on that. It's never really, it doesn't really matter what you're being invited over to. You're being invited over. Just go.
Right, right. And if you don't like tea, bring something else and say, look, I'm not a tea guy, but I brought this and I brought one for you too if you'd like it.
Yeah, seriously.
Exactly. So it brings me back to the question for you. Are young men really this clueless when it comes to dating? Because I kind of thought that the pendulum swinging the other way and young men are, you know, being alpha is back and being, you know, full on male is back and the whole MAGA thing and all of that, you know, was a thing again. Wouldn't those guys, though, know how to handle this stuff?
Yeah.
Or do they have to learn it?
You would think so. I mean, you know, guys can learn a lot from women, and, you know, and watching their parents. So if you were raised well and you watched your parents and you watched your dad as a guy do stuff for your mom, that's really, for me at least personally, that's what I do now for my wife. So If you're not seeing that, you may be influenced by your friends, and you may have bad friends that don't hold doors. Like, that's just kind of how it's going to be if that's how you're raised. Whatever you're influenced by, that's generally what you're going to turn out to be if no one else tells you otherwise. So you would have to do a lot of learning in that case. But I think the trend is coming back to more chivalry, I hope. But in this case, it doesn't seem like these guys have any clue what's going on.
But they're trying to learn.
They're trying to learn. And they have good friends. They seem like they call you out if you mess up. So at least they have that going for them.
Yeah. So they're called Famous Bachelors, if you want to follow them on Facebook or Instagram, wherever you happen to be. And they're adorable. And I just saw that clip and I'm like, oh my gosh, we have to talk about this because I absolutely love it. And I loved the fact that they're ultimately, the solutions that the advice that the friends were giving them was conservative, right? Conservative, old school values. And I like to see a return to that because I think grandma and grandpa did it a certain way for a reason. And you can't go wrong with that. All right, coming up, we're not done here. A little bit more coming up here on the Todd Starnes Show. All right. Oh, no. We're out of here really soon. Oh, so sad. Okay, I had so much more to go through with you guys, but oh well. But I will be with Todd on Tuesday on his show on Newsmax 2 and 2. And it may be on your provider. You just look for Newsmax 2. If not, you just go to YouTube and you look for Newsmax 2 Live and you can watch. And I'm always on with Kay Smith Hill, who is hilarious. And we have so much fun with Todd. And sometimes we even make him blush. Ask him about his dangling Italian. Mm-hmm. His dangling Italy. That's it. Dangling Italy. Got to ask him about that. Very quick, along the lines of what we were just talking about about the guys, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, did you hear this? You may have heard this. They're bringing back a dress code. And I thought it went so well with that last topic that we were just talking about. You cannot go, you have to eat in the bar if you are wearing a baseball, a hat, gym wear, pool attire, tank tops, clothing with offensive graphics or language, revealing clothing, exposed undergarments. Who goes to a restaurant with their underwear showing? Who does that? Apparently people do. So much so that they had to actually come up with a rule to ban it. I love this. I love seeing a certain standard coming back. I cringe, maybe because I'm old. I cringe when I see people outside in their pajama bottoms. I get it. I know you want to be comfortable, but it seems like people got so comfortable living in pajama bottoms and sweats and things like that during COVID that they forgot what it's like to go outside. I just think it just really debases you personally when you walk around dressed like a slob. You feel so much different. It's like school uniforms. Kids who wear uniforms to school wind up performing better in school, and I think a lot of that is because they feel better about themselves. They feel more formal, you know? They're dressed for work. And I think the same thing goes when you leave the house. I think you behave better. I think maybe this is why we have so many people acting the fool in public, because they're in their slippers, wearing slippers, you know, because it's so hard to tie your shoes every day. Wearing slippers and pajama bottoms, like those fleece pajama bottoms with, you know, their hair is still looking like they're asleep. And they act horribly. And I think it's just maybe that's the key. I don't know. I'd love to see people ban pajama bottoms from public if I had my way, but I'm old. All right, don't forget to catch my podcast. Look for Mary Walter Radio on Rumble, YouTube, Getter, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Spreaker. And catch me with Todd next Tuesday. Have a great weekend. I'm Mary Walter.